Hello, folks. We're the Hardened Earth Hosers. We're back for another episode of 2022. I'm Hoser Kyle, and I'm here with Hoser Alex.
Howdy.
So, this is a podcast about dirt bikes and enduro. And I don't know what we're going to talk about today. Actually, well, kind of. I guess we're going to talk about a little bit of racing. But you know what?
A little bit of what's up, but
yeah.
What's going on in the world?
Yeah,
your Instagram creeping. Like, what are you seeing?
I mean, Instagram creeping. You know what? There's like, I do have a bit of a grievance because there's something that's been plaguing our province and our country for a long time now.
Don't do it.
I know. And you know what? I'd say even like North America and other parts of the world, it's just getting intolerable. And I'm ready for it to be over. And it's, I'm really losing my patience with it. It's winter. It's winter. Yeah.
I'm sweating.
I know.
Here we go again. Yeah. We're diving into the political arena. Oh, God.
No.
Please,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's a pandemic going on, too. But you know what? That's not a big deal as far as riding dirt bike goes. But it's a big deal for winter as far as riding dirt bikes goes.
You already said too much. The hate's coming.
I know.
Yeah, the snow is definitely putting a damper on the old riding scene.
Yeah, it's cold. It's frozen.
Yeah, slippery.
Yeah, it's inconvenient is what it is.
It's an inconvenient amount of snow where studs aren't really, like, it's not even just like, oh, it's a little icy, throw on some studs and away you go. It's that, like, packed, bogged down.
Especially when you got that, well, and it's deep here in northern.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The north, and, like, once you get that big, thick crust on top, and kind of the sugary stuff underneath, there's just a lot of spinning and a whole lot of going nowhere.
Yeah. And that awkward, like, corn snow where it's not refreezing either. It's
just, yeah, exactly. So we just got to wait it out at this point. Yeah. End of March, we can probably start riding. Well, I can, I guess.
No.
Yeah. But, oh, you're... Speaking of riding, though... You're doing some racing, though, these days.
Yeah. You know, got to keep that competitive edge going. I've taken to the virtual world doing some Zwift. So, yeah, trying to keep the fitness up, the cardio, get rehab in, and, being competitive.
Yeah.
Getting absolutely destroyed by roadies. That's what's happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, they probably have proper bikes, though.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't help probably being on a downhill bike.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's an enduro. Different kind of enduro. Yeah. Kind of actually triggers me just a little bit when they call them enduro bikes. Like, it does, like, you're stealing that whole concept. Everything came from the motor world. You can't. But anyway, that's...
Do you think that it originated with motorbikes and then transferred to mountain bikes?
Yeah, it was the idea of the type of competition where it's a time trial where only you have test sections and transit sections.
Oh.
And that was originally a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's dirt bikes for sure.
And then that pedal cycling has adopted that same race, and that's where you have like the EWS and stuff like that, the Enduro World Series.
Oh, okay.
But it's bicycling, and they have to pedal up to the event and then ride downhill.
Yeah.
But yeah, fitness, it's, you know, I felt pretty good about my fitness. Did some workouts and stuff before I went on some online races. You know, figured I'd maybe sandbag a little and go into the lowest class.
I was going to ask if you're going to do that.
And,
seeing your name near the top.
I do. And I also, you know, I'd never done it, didn't really know. And I got absolutely whooped.
Oh.
Like, there are people out there that have a fitness level on road bikes that is unbelievable. And I don't mean like, oh yeah, there's a couple like Lance Armstrongs out there that are like super fit people. I mean, I got my ass kicked by like 700 people. Like,
and I guess this has got to be worldwide though.
Oh, it's worldwide, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, 700 is still a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. A little introspection.
Yeah. But
is that the right word? I don't think it is.
Intro. It was humbling.
Yeah.
It was, but you know, you think about it in the enduro world and fitness and where these top athletes are at. I mean, I think some of it crosses. Like, these guys are on a different level.
It's next level.
you know, every once in a while, us mortals do something that we're pretty awesome, and we take our photos. And we're like, "Yeah, I did that! Whoa, high fives, yeah. Bro bumps."
Then they continue to do it for another 5 hours.
Yeah,
on the next level,
they just walk over it like they didn't even notice it and keep on going and do it for days.
I do think though, like a lot of sports have that similar fitness level.
Yeah,
like, you know, I follow a bunch of Formula One people on Instagram and whatnot, and the one guy also does race road bikes.
Yeah.
And yeah, he did some big race in Europe somewhere. Anyways, got second place.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's insane.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. And it's all
that, you know, athletes that are at the top of their level are at that peak fitness level where you just, that is, you know, it's almost,
there's a benchmark
universal where
if you want to be a pro, you got to be this fit.
Yeah, if your cardio and your VO2 max and stuff like that is all at the upper level, then you're there.
Got to forget about McDonald's, McGriddles.
I don't know if I can give up McGriddles.
Yeah, the 700 other people did, Alex.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference.
That's the difference.
They live in countries without McGriddles.
Oh, sounds awful.
Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, it keeps that competitive edge, you know, you kind of fired up to go and do something.
Yeah. I'm getting real anxious to start dirt biking again and racing. Actually, hopefully, it's probably unlikely, but I'm hoping there's going to be a local race or two happening.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to organize it because all the people that organize races are no longer organizing races.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been quite the, the changeover here.
Yeah, it's been a racing drought.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to talk about, we're going to get into some races and stuff, talk about the series that are coming up in BC here. But in other side news, before we get into that, we're going to talk about the pros.
Yeah.
Paul Bolton
What's going on?
Is riding a beta.
This is a shocker. It's spreading.
I know.
Like, it's almost spreading as fast as COVID.
Oh, you went there. Sorry.
The beta.
Yeah. Beta variant.
Yeah. But people are loving these bikes. Like,
yeah, there seem, and I think they're gaining traction.
Yeah.
I think before.
Gaining traction.
Yeah. Oh,
the dad joke in there. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But I think in the next few years, you're going to see a whole bunch more betas. And especially, once these more common names like Johnny Walker and Paul Bolton are riding them.
Yeah. So the Bolton story, you were just telling me as we were setting up for this podcast on how he got on it.
Yeah.
Where this came from.
Yeah. When they came over to the United States of America for the Tennessee Knockout, he was just given a Beta 300 to ride around while he was doing all his Red Bull filming and all that good stuff. So I don't know, what's his position called? He's a track, media track, something or other.
Yeah.
Anyway, he films stuff on his GoPro, rides around.
Yeah, he does the lap.
Follows the pros.
Explains what he's thinking and what he's doing and what the struggles are.
Yeah, and kind of what the pros are thinking. I really appreciate
line
it.
Choice.
Yeah, I think it's good. a great addition to the Red Bull media world. But anyways, so he was given a beta to use, and then when he went back home to Europe and he decided that he wanted to ride a beta for 2022. So he just picked one of those up not that long ago and actually just finished the first race with it. I don't know how well he did, but I do know that he raced it. Yeah, so that's all I know. I thought that was interesting.
It is.
And there's still no word on Alfredo Gomez. He still hasn't, I mean, he might have said something, but everything he's really said has been in Spanish, so I don't know what he said. So I'm really hoping that he's gonna make a big announcement that's English.
Yeah.
But, actually, he was just a week or week and a half ago, he was riding a regular old civilian husky.
A civilian husky.
Yeah, like no rock star husky side shrouds or anything.
Yeah.
Just a regular off the showroom floor husky.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was, what race is that? Oh my goodness. I don't know. I'm so bad for this. I should have prepared a little bit more. I didn't think we were going to dig into Alfredo. Anyways, Spanish race, I think. Aelstrom?
Yes.
Aelstrom. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. So, he's riding a gas snow bike. Still riding a Husky, even if it's not a factory Husky.
Interesting. And, I mean, I guess he's riding KTMs all around.
Yeah, so I'm still waiting for the big announcement, because I'm very curious to see where his journey leads to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, that brings us to the conclusion of our pro talk, which was very, very short-lived, but I thought these were interesting points to talk about.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm just kind of reminiscing about Paul Bolton, how he's kind of like, he's a good guy. He's peaked, you know, he's a little past his prime, and he seems to accept that, and he's putting back into the sport what he can, and he's not a...
he stays positive.
Who's that goon that's racing Enduro GP now that's like David Knight? I'm glad he didn't turn into a David Knight.
I don't know David Knight.
He guys just...
I only follow Joseph Garcia and...
Don't follow David
and
Knight.
And Watson.
The guy just...
Or not Watson.
He's so Freeman. Angry.
Is he?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just a negative Nancy?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like negative Nancys.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But Paul's always been a positive Nancy.
Yeah, no, he's a, I don't know, he's a good ambassador. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's very good for the sport of enduro. And we need more of Paul.
So, 2022 racing.
Yes. So, we're in the Great White North, eh? So, we're up in Smithers.
Way up in Smithers.
Yeah, so the closest race has got to be, what is that, 10 hours away?
Quesnel? Outback Bushwhack.
Is there a Bushwhack?
Yeah, Quesnel has one race. Yep.
Oh, I don't even see it in the list.
Oh, maybe it's not running this year.
Yeah.
Historically, Quesnel has been the closest to Outback Bushwhack.
Okay. And this is like, I'm just looking at the BC Off-Road Championship Series.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the Quesnel one was part of that or not.
It was part of the interior.
Ew. Is that interior being Alberta?
Nope. British Columbia interior.
Oh. Okay. Well, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, so. There's two race series. There's the coastal and the interior. And the interior is all like the Kamloops, Cranbrook. Creston.
Chilliwack.
Chilliwack. Yeah, exactly.
Merritt. Squamish.
And then the coastal is more the, like right near Vancouver. The Vetter and stuff like that.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Yep, 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 yep. So, this year it looks like the closest ones are Merritt and Kamloops.
Merritt's only 9 hours away.
I know. I know, you pretty much need to take a couple of days off work on the either end of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because you got to have a travel day. Usually, like, be nice to have a day of kind of getting sorted and riding a little bit so you're not coming straight off of the pickup seat.
Yeah.
Then ride and then drive home. But yeah, so we'll see. I'd like to do at least one or two races this year. Make the trip down and wow, bless you.
Yeah, wow.
Oof, that was,
I think my soul almost escaped there.
Yeah, I think I saw it. just peekabooed there.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so the Big Kahuna is the first one in April.
Yes.
And you were saying that's a fast race.
Yeah. So I went down to do this one and unfortunately didn't actually get to do the race. But it was a neat course. Like they had start off in...
Was this a lung collapse day?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. An hour before the race.
So that is poor timing.
Yeah. The old layout, and I'm not sure what their plans on running this year. But you start off in a trophy truck race course. And then you come into a section of the track, which you do backwards. So all the track heroes, you don't really, like, there's no lips on any jumps when you're going backwards.
Yeah, you can go as fast as you want off of them.
Yeah, it's you probably don't want to go as fast as you want. Yeah. And then,
which is good, keeps everybody honest because it's not a motocross race. So,
exactly. It is and it isn't because, I mean, they're gone in the corners, but... and then it goes into an enduro cross section where it's got like your logs, your jumps, your tire pits, your firewood pit, stacked tires, like the loader tires and stuff like that. And then it goes into a couple more open straight stretches, some woods with some giant logs. And we're talking like the 30-inch, 36-inch logs.
Big girls.
And yeah, all that crazy stuff has a ride around, but the ride arounds take way more time.
Yeah.
And then it goes into a kind of flat grass track where no banks and hopefully a rut gets hooked in, but if not, you're just flat cornering and then
oh wow. So I don't
and
I'd really like to find race more technical races, because that's kind of my opinion, where I'm like a fair bit better at.
Yeah, you have a chance.
Yeah, where I have a chance, where I feel like I'm better than average in like the super technical stuff, but I think I'm a fair bit below average when it comes to open racing, risking it for the biscuit.
Yeah. I think maybe something, one of the things that was kind of upsetting to me after looking at the results and trying to figure out where like, where people were coming in, and some of the intermediate times were faster than the experts and up like competitive with the pro. And it just blew my mind.
Oh, that people were sandbagging like you in your virtual races?
Yeah, exactly. But the downside, like, so even online racing with Zwift, there's anti-sandbagging. So you accumulate points as you race. And as soon as you have too many points, basically you're winning too much. You get bumped up a category.
Oh, then you really got to keep
it competitive.
Yeah, right? which is fair.
And like Off-Road Ontario does a great job of this, where like if you're in the top five, I think, of your class, you're forced to be bumped up. And then they have a bunch of people that they recommend are bumped up. So like the Corduroy Enduro, I got third in my class, and they flagged me and recommended that I go up a class. I never raced before. I do like to see my name at the top, but you know, once you get flagged like that, I mean, you're kind of, if you're like, no, I'm going to stay back.
No, man, I'm good.
Yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Once you've been identified, like if you've never raced and you go out and you win, yeah, okay, that's one thing. And then you get flagged and they say, hey, you know what? You should move up a category. You should. And
it's kind of like a gentleman's thing to do.
Yeah.
You can't really tell them
to have an intermediate class away, where like, I don't think either one of us really wants to race in the short course where you do like the, what is it? The over 30 or whatever. I mean, I guess we can both race vet now, but we don't want to race the short course. Like, we want to be out in the technical stuff in the long course, but we don't want to race intermediate where you get smoked by a bunch of pros that are sandbagging.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think, I don't know, in my opinion too, I think that, yeah, like you said, I really like being competitive, but if it's just, if someone's just miles ahead, then it kind of takes the fun out of it. You're like, oh, I can't really fight for, say, first, second, or third.
And there's no class for you. Like,
yeah,
there's no class for you to race in, almost, in that. I don't know. I'm sure this will get some differing opinions, but to me, intermediate, like, it should be competitive in a class below, where if you're at that level technically, you should get bumped up to expert or bumped up to pro.
Yeah, like, no, I agree. And I think lots of people also, like myself, that hasn't done any of these series races, you really don't know where to put yourself.
No.
Right? So I could see, like, especially for, like, were you in the corduroy, where you entered, wherever you entered, and people recommended you go up. You're like, oh, okay, well, now I know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're getting blown away and you're at the bottom of the pack, you're not having as much fun. You're just struggling, especially if the course is hard.
Yeah.
And
I had entered before I tore my ACL. I was going to race a class up. Like,
yeah.
Because, like you said, you can't, when somebody's like, yeah, I know you're too good, you got to move up a class. You can't just be like, no, I'm good, bro.
That's
terrible.
It is terrible sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if they had a race here, I think I'd go up to expert, actually.
Yeah.
I found the last couple of races, I've really been stuck behind a lot of people for a long time. And I think it's really, I don't know. It sucked. It sucked. It's really slowed me down over the course of the race, I think. Especially like our last, the last cross country harder technical race that we had here.
Yeah.
In Nice 2020? Yeah. Yeah, it would have been 2020. Anyways, intermediate. There's like our, three classes, I guess. Like amateur, intermediate, expert. Anyways, everybody's an intermediate.
Yeah. It's like a big group.
25 people has got to be. And there's like 8 an expert. So right off the get-go, I guess horn goes off. Everybody's giving her hair scramble. And then somebody behind me lays their bike down and it slides up into my rear tire. And I just get like hung up. So now I'm at the back of the pack. And yeah, once we get the bike separated, I'm going again. But then I'm behind
everyone,
20 people, 20 some odd people. And then you spend the rest of the 2 hours just trying to make your way through the crowd. So like at least expert, if there's like 8 people, then it's like this one thing.
So I did the exact same thing at expert. I got the whole shot, which never happens. And I had the like, oh my God,
I'm in the lead. I'm doing it. I'm really doing it.
And then, first corner, just laid the bike down and slid off the track. It was like, sweet. I'm so glad I got that whole shot.
I was yesing too hard.
And then, I was, at least in the expert class, like I think there was only one or two people that were kind of slower and below my pace. But I mean, everything else was my own fault. Like I lost a lot of time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't everyone in that class knew it was up and they knew when you catch somebody and you give them a couple of revs, they get out of your way right away.
Yeah.
They move on. They know the game.
Yeah. The class below where I race is a little bit of a different story. Sometimes they just stay in front of you because they can at that particular moment.
Yeah.
Followed one person for like a lap and a half within 2 bike lengths of them. And there was no spot to pass them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't cool. Yeah. Fucking dusted them after that though. Yeah.
So the old Instagram is talking about what's up and what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine's been plagued with these ads for a race that I hadn't seen before, being aware of.
Ooh.
Over the whole bird and border.
Yes.
Have you seen these ads?
I have. Yeah. It looks exciting.
Yeah.
It looks very exciting.
It's dirtbikenews.ca, I think.
Yeah. DB News.
DBnews.ca. Yeah. So they've been pushing this really hard. The Maze Runner XC. It looks interesting. It
looks very interesting. There's not much footage about with the rest of the course. They kind of only have video of one.
Yeah, there's one like particular that Carl's section. Diner-esque section of boulders that everyone's fighting through.
Yeah, and that's kind of the only one I've seen.
Have you ever seen what the lap lengths are? Like
50 kilometers.
That's a 50 kilometer lap.
Yeah. And it's classed, they call it a hard enduro race.
Yeah.
So that leads me to think that there would be not too many straight open field sections or anything like that, or fast single track.
Yeah.
You think it'd be 50 kilometers of slow, giving just your clutch finger a workout.
Whooped. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd really like to participate in that one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have the time to designate to leading up to it.
Yeah.
Seeing as I have a full-time job and a child.
And that's, we were looking at the classes on there. The expert are
gold, silver, bronze.
Yeah, gold, silver, bronze. And only gold and silver go through like the super technical section.
Yeah.
So you'd be like fighting with some pretty good people. You want to be.
Yeah. I think I'd enter silver.
Yeah.
In there.
Again, do you want to get that full race experience? But you don't want to be like,
but I don't
go rubbing shoulders with Hart.
Well, that's just it. Or
you
like,
want to be in his way, and you just don't want to race people like that. Like, it's not competitive. It's not fun.
No, exactly. And I don't want to race the next upcoming heart that's sandbagging in silver either.
Yeah,
because it's like, come on, man, just be fourth or fifth in gold class and be happy.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't gotta be first in silver. But yeah, so I think. I don't know. I'm going to try. August 20th is the date for that. There's not really too much other information out right now.
No, I said it's pre-registration only, but no indication of what registration costs or...
or where to register.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
Actually, I think I read that there was a $100 fee.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Yeah. Just seems strange to be hyping it so hard with the ads, but have nothing to actually do.
There's, yeah, no footage, like, no registration area.
Yeah.
And they're... What's very upsetting to me is their website just redirects you to their Facebook page.
Yes.
Like if you're going to like make a big ad stink campaign, about the big ad campaign over this race, at least have a real website with information on it.
Yeah. Like what are the classes? What?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, I found something about, maybe it was just on one of their posters about the classes, gold, silver, bronze, iron.
Yeah, it was on one of the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. But there's really no...
Here we go.
Yeah, entry, $100. So yeah, I've only seen rocks. I only know it's $100. And it's somewhere in between Calgary and Edmonton.
Yeah, it's in Sundry.
And I mean, in all fairness, I guess it is... in August 20th, so they have plenty of time to get things sorted out and plenty of time for registration and all that good stuff. But again, it's like, it's race season. People are making plans already.
So I like, you know, they're calling it a hard enduro. We should talk about what the bar is. Oh, because actually,
you know what? So I got to bring up one more thing. I think it's 2018 they had this race last time.
Yeah.
2018. There was like, I'm pretty sure I only saw four strokes riding this track. There was like four strokes. I saw YZ250 two stroke and like maybe one Husky two stroke. And this is like apparently gold class. So I'm also wondering, well, how hard is it if people are riding the gold class guys? And well, everybody, I guess, is riding
big four strokes.
Yeah, big four strokes that are very obviously overheating.
I don't like. Yeah,
it's like, do you even hard enduro if you ride a four stroke?
And that's what I think. To me, like a hard enduro is like Ayersburg.
There it is. There it is. The one Husky two stroke right on the poster.
Yeah. Well, like to me, you have to have like a 10% finish rate to be a hard enduro. Like,
yeah.
If you, otherwise it's a race, like it's a hair scramble or, I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
The difference between an enduro and a hard enduro is like, to me, a hard enduro is a one section, one race, no liaisons, 10% of the people who enter finish.
No laps. Point A to point B.
Yeah. And if you're doing a hair scramble, it's an A to B and away you go.
Yeah.
Or sorry, a laps.
Yeah.
First across the line after the time elapses. And yeah.
Yeah. So I think people in North America especially want to advertise hard enduros just because people are all wooded up over hard enduros, when in actual fact, it's more of like a cross country race.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. So that, I do have a problem with that. That is one of my grievances.
Yeah.
You know how I have all these grievances.
Yeah. Yeah. So the listeners, like, let us know what you think. The term hard enduro, is it being thrown around too liberally, or you know what? Whatever grows the sport and gets people fired up and gets entry fees paid, by all means, go for it.
Yep. And should they be calling it Maze Runner XC?
Yeah.
Let us know more about it. If they've got hard enduro underneath it.
Have you done this course? Do you know anything about it? Let us know.
Is four stroke a requirement? What's the deal with that? But yeah, so I'd like to go to this one. I think it'd be exciting.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a real hard enduro. And the other series, the Vancouver Island, Hair Scramble series.
Yeah, the VIHSS.
Vidra. Yeah, you did it. Yep. Proper acronym. The that one looks exciting because they do actually have a hard enduro series that is three races long. They have a Hair Scramble series, and then they've got a separate hard enduro series, which I find very intriguing.
Yeah. Too bad they're like close enough together you could just go down and like smash a couple.
Spend 6 months there?
But if they were like, if you could catch three events in 2 weeks, like if there were 3 weekends back to back, then it's like take your weeks, 3 weeks of or 2 weeks of vacation, run down on a Friday, do a race, hang out, see the island for a week, do another race, recoup because now you're beat and all your bike is broken and try and find parts and then race.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, just give us a rundown on the...
Yeah, so like there's, I mean, there's the usual... like Cook Creek, Whiskey Creek races. And you've been to Whiskey Creek?
Whiskey Creek, yeah.
You've been there?
It's really nice, yeah. I highly recommend it. It's not... I wouldn't say anything on it was like overly technical, but for like a flowy single track, just like moving through stuff, it was really good.
Hair scramble?
Yeah, it would, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, wide enough that you could pass. Like if somebody was... clogging up in front of you and you need to get past, like the corners are wide enough that you could go around
like somebody or undercut inside. Somebody or whatever. Oh, that's exciting. And I think the terrain on Vancouver Island actually would play a good part in making actual hard enduros. Lots of the other areas like Kamloops and Kelowna and whatever, they're just kind of big open and deserty.
Dusty, yeah.
There's not a whole bunch of like steep mountainous.
They have like the washouts and drainages and stuff, but it's just the dusty sandiness that I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to run like a super soft compound tire probably.
Yeah.
If you're paddling through sand and that loose stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyways,
It just doesn't have that mud feel. Like to me, the hard enduro is like you go back to like the early Ayersburg days where you just like it would be raining or snowing and everyone just caked in mud and they can't stand because it's so slippery and it's just...
Yeah, it's mud, it's roots, it's rocks.
Yeah.
Everything's wet and
people are no traction. Cold, there's guys shivering. Yeah. It's just awful. Yeah.
You know, it's not a hard enduro until there's grown men shivering.
Exactly.
And actually the one, say Ayersburg, the one enduro or hard enduro race on the island I thought was... made me giggle was Tearsburg. I love that. And Tansky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they got, the Suffering, Tearsburg, and Monster Mash in Cook Creek for the Hard Enduro series.
Cool.
And I would be very interested. Oh, those are even in the fall. September 18th, October 8th, 9th, and October 29th and
30th. Yeah, they'll be wet. Any listeners that have done those races, let us know what you're thinking.
Yeah, or even any of these. Vancouver Island. Yeah. So I'd be curious to know.
I went. Which one? That was how awesome it was. Talk Kyle up so that we can come down and I'll pit crew for him and heckle him.
Yeah, there we go. That'd be exciting. Yeah. I'm really hoping to move there for dirt biking all year round. So I'd really like to take part in all these.
Yeah.
Probably for 2023. So these make me excited. So I really like to know how these races are. If they're just like regular hair scrambles or if they're actually like super technical, hard. I want to know if I'm going to shiver. Am I going to get shivered? So yeah, but that's kind of the races. I mean, I haven't been to any of these, so I really don't know too much about them as far as like any of the series, whether it's on the island or on the mainland. But I'm hoping to get to... Ooh, Lytton might be close. Is Lytton closer than Merritt? Probably not. No, that's farther.
No, it's basically Whistler.
Oh, that's so far away.
Yeah.
I don't need to drive 12. Driving 12 hours for one race is pretty ambitious.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have that much time off.
No.
So yeah, but hopefully we'll get to some races. We'll let everybody know if we do plan to go to some races.
Yeah.
When I say we, I mean me.
And let us know what are we missing? What should be on our radar? What are we not We're not considering.
What's worth the drive if I'm going to make a drive for one of these races?
Yeah, making an epic one-day trek.
Yeah, if I'm...
For driving 20 hours to a race, where should we go?
Yeah. Because that might be something that I'd be into. Take some time off. Like a week, a few days, a couple days around the weekend on either side. Then really make the effort to go to a good race. I'd like to know which one to go to. And more technical, the better, I think. We don't need any of these wide open cross-country races that I'm not going to do well at.
Half on a motocross track.
Yeah, exactly. I really just like to sandbag a nice technical track.
Yeah. That's my move.
Yeah. If I'm going to spend that time, I want to be on the podium. But yeah, so that's kind of our schedules that we got going locally here. I guess not all that local, but within the province.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully we can get down to some of them. It's exciting to see all the races that have been posted nice and early.
Yeah, it's good to see stuff going, people getting excited, fired up.
Yeah, I'm fired up. And...
Ow.
Oh, a big elbow smasher.
It's okay, it was a funny bone.
Oh no. Okay. Well, yes. I think we'll end it there because I have no more information for anybody. I don't know if I did to begin this podcast either, but here we are still talking. So let us know at Hardendero Hosers Instagram or
at HardenderoHosers.com. Leave us a voice message on our anchor site and be featured on the show.
Yeah. Be featured on the show. And yeah, hopefully we'll keep doing these. We had a big break there, but we'll get back at her.
It's so snowy.
It's so snowy. Soon, once we get riding, we'll have more to talk about again, which is exciting. We need to interview somebody, too.
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, we'll get there. Okay. Well, we will see you guys. I don't know why I keep saying see you guys. You guys will listen to us at another time in... the near future.
We'll catch you at the next show.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys. TTFN.